talks last week, and was talking about just how cognizant must the woman be that she's in the middle of Shabbat Nikim. They mentioned that even though we don't accept the view of the Shalom, the woman has to verbally, actively count the days off of Shabbat Nikim, but according to some, she still has to be aware of the fact that she's in Shabbat Nikim. So she has a questionable issue. She's not sure. The rabbi is going to say, what did you also? So she should never give up. She should assume everything's okay until proven otherwise. And eventually she'll get somebody to look at it. So in the interim, she should keep the count. So if she thinks she's up into day five or day one, she should just have in mind that she's still following along the days of Shiva the King. So there's one last point related to that sugya before we move on to the next discussion. And that's a psak that Rav Moshe has. It seems to be related to this issue. It goes back to some of the things we spoke about in the past about that which was necessary for a woman to do before she begins Shiva Nikim. She's required to do a Hefzik Tahara. She has to check herself before Shkia the day preceding the Shiva Nikim. And there's a Minhag Yisrael that she does a Mok. She puts an additional tikkun of cloth and leaves it there for Ben Hashemashos. So when we're going to Sugyas of Mok, we pointed out that 99.99% of the time the Mok is not absolutely necessary. So it's a Minhag, not a Din. Once in a blue moon it's necessary, and that's what the Minhag became, to insist on trying to do it if you can all the time. But again, Mikra Din, all that's necessary is Hefzik Tahara. The Mok is a Chumra, is a Minhag. So the normal practice women have is that they try to do Hefzik Tahara a little bit before Shkia, half hour, 20, whatever it is before Shkia, and then they take it out, they take a look, it looks okay, and then a minute or two before Shkia, they'll put a Hefzik Tahara, put another tikkun in as the Mok, they'll take that out half hour later, whatever it is. So the question becomes, is it really necessary for her to do two separate tzedikas? Maybe we can just combine the two into one, make it a little bit easier for her. So maybe what she should do is as follows. That instead of doing Hefzik Tahara a half hour before Shkia, let her just do one 2 minutes before Shkia, since she gets the Shkia, right? Do the colors before Shkia. But instead of putting it in and putting it out and pulling it out and looking at it, let her put it in and leave it there as the Moch. So let the one of the Deacon's work will serve both the role of the Hefzik Tahara and the role of the Moch. And then she'll know, in a half hour from now, she takes it out, and she'll know, was the Hefzik Tahara / Moch acceptable or not? What's the problem? Why are we insisting for her to keep track of two Bedikas, let her just do one Bedika, and turn every Hefzik Tahara into the Moch? So again, she would have to do this properly. She normally, when a woman puts in a Moch, so strictly speaking, there's no need to rotate the Moch. The goal of the Moch is to sit there for the Ben HaShemoshos, but Hefzik Tahara has to be rotated, because you require what's called Bedikas Chorin of Stock, and you have to get all the nooks and crannies. So no problem. So let her take a Bedikas, put it on her finger, put it inside, rotate it inside, and then instead of pulling it out, which you would normally do, just leave it there, and in effect, serve as both. So Rav Moshe thought that wasn't the proper way to do a Hefzik Tahara Mok. Why is that? So Rav Moshe was concerned that he said, no good. Yeah, but Rav Moshe said that doesn't get the proper way of doing it. Because he felt that if you do it that way, so then when Shkia comes, and in a sense the first day of Shiva Kiyam comes, she doesn't yet know that she's in Shiva Kiyam. Because if that Bedikas cloth turns out that it had a problem on it, so Igloim also turns out that she never did Hefzik Tahara. Turns out that she never started Shiva Nikim. She'll only know that she's in Shiva Nikim in a half hour from now. If she does it the old style way, the conventional way of doing a Hefzik Tahara first, so then she knows that Shiva Nikim have started already. Once the Hefzik Tahara is clean, then she'll know for a fact that Shiva Nikim has started. It's not meaning that Chumash she throws in the Moch for good luck, but the Ikra then is that once she did a Hefzik Tahara, then she has a right to assume the bleeding stopped, and then she knows for a fact from Shkia time already that she's already in the mode of Shiva Nikim. If she doesn't look at the Hefzik Tahara beforehand, so then she has no way of knowing whether she's really in Shiva Nikim or not. And somehow that's the problem of a little bit of Hezkadah. That's the problem of a lack of cognizance, lack of awareness that she's in Shiva Nikim. There's almost a throwback a little bit to last week that we spoke about, but she has to at least be aware that she's in Shiva Nikim. So, based on everything we said last week, it's hard to understand this Pesach of Rav Moshe, because it's not that she doesn't know that she's at a Shiva Nikim. The whole idea that some Poskim said that she has to be aware that she's in Shiva Nikim, that means she can't be Gomeris B'dayta, she can't assume as Dabba Pasha that she's not a Shiva Nikim. You can't all of a sudden, you know, you can't turn around 3 days later and say, oh, by the way, the last 3 days I was in the middle of Shiva Nikim, I didn't even know about it. Here, it's not that she doesn't know about it, she's to be determined. Why is this any worse than the woman who has a shayla in the middle of Shiva Nikim, and she doesn't know whether Shiva Nikim was canceled or not? So for her, we're okay. That's fine. As long as she's in the basic framework of at least a maybe, as long as she's in a suffix shivnikim, that's good enough. Just as a suffix shivnikim is good enough, why is this any worse than, so to speak, a suffix shivnikim? So it's hard to understand this psach of Rav Moshe. It's not a bad idea to follow this psach of Rav Moshe, because there's something else that's gained by this psach of Rav Moshe. What's gained is that if a woman doesn't have sitara like the old style, like conventional way of doing it, a little bit before Shtia, if there's something questionable on the bedikah, at least she'll have time to recover. She'll wait a few minutes, and then she'll be able to do another potential bedikah. Whereas if she does it this way, she's trying to skimp on bedikahs, but she may end up messing herself up and losing her whole day. Because if she does it this way, then she has no way of knowing whether the sitara was acceptable or not. By the time she takes it out, it's going to be too late. So she'll take out the sitara half hour late, then after Shkia, she can't do anything about it anymore. So it may be worth her while to do things in the old way. To do Hefzik Tara at first, take it out, evaluate what's going on. If it's great, wonderful. If it's not so great, so then wait it out a few minutes, do another one. If that's no good, wait it out a few more minutes, do another one. So she has the opportunity to recover before it's too late. If she does the skippy way of doing the Hefzik Tara, I don't mean the halachic way, but I'm saying she's skipping on medica clubs, so that may end up costing us. So again, Ramesh had a potential halachic concern with it, not an absolute, so I have to understand where the chumra came from, but perhaps for other reasons, in terms of practical reasons, it's probably a better idea not to do things that way. So the Chachila recommend that women should try to do Hefzik Tara, Kedas, Chedin, spend enough time, half hour, some before Shkia, take it out, take a look, if you have to do it again, and if not, if everything was okay, so then wait till a minute before Shkia, then put it in the moch, and to continue as the minhag Yisroel. Now we begin the next major part of our sugya, and that's in terms of defining properly what are days for the purposes of Shivanikiya. It sounds like, well, what's the big deal? Days are days. Not so simple. So the first issue that...
What is the English term for moch?
Moch is... it refers to a cloth that's put into that area right before sunset and taken out right after dark on the first day. What's the exact English word for moch? I don't even know. There is an English word for moch. The word moch actually comes from the Hebrew word mochen, means literally rag. Mochen are rags, because they used to use, a piece of cloth. I mean, they would take an old shmata, so to speak. So now, today's world, we have these fancy, nice, you know, pedika cloths that are manufactured. But in Eastern Europe, they didn't have no fancy packs of pedika cloth. They took an old shirt, they cut it into little pieces, and then that became the bedikah cloth. That's what the word moch really comes from.
So then, actually, the word moch could be applied to... I mean, it's just common parlance to use it for the one that's
right, that's
later,
right, that's
but it
right,
could
that's
be...
Right, that's right, that's
the
right.
The earlier one could also
that's
be
right,
moch,
well, right,
if
that's
it means
right,
rag.
Right, the precise lechter is actually the moch dochuk. Dochuk means that's tied in. It's put in its place in the area in a tight way. That's what it's technically called, the moch dochuk. That lingo we just shortened from that.
Could a woman use the batik cloth, take it out, and then put it in as a moch? The same
yeah,
way?
Yeah, if it's clean, yeah.
It's clean,
yeah,
obviously, if it's clean.
Yeah. She could do that.
Okay,
so now we begin to try to understand how exactly to define days for the purpose of Shiv Nikim. So the first of the number of page 8. Page 8 starts with CD 29, Hagadar is Yomim. So the Ramah discusses the following shayla, which goes way beyond the Chusnida. The Ramah, your day in Simchus said, he loves the Palace, as follows. Ye v'yesh agim. Imis palu ha-kol arvis, v'od ha-yom gadol, eina yechol livdov o-livo shlevanum, hasiv livros b'yom ha-macharos, t'yachad ha-kol kvar oso so-layma. He quotes the Tumas Adeshe, which is from the early, late Mishan, early Acharonim in Germany, preceded the Ramah. Jumas Adeshin writes that if the community already daven Mayav early, not talking about far enough, Tuesday, they daven Mayav early. Now, when he talks about davening Mayav early, he's not talking about the way, when we say we're davening Mayav early, that usually means you have to shkia. He's talking about like the plagues of Yonim, like those are an hour before anyone near gets dark, they're already davening Mayav. Why did Avi Mayav so early? So Tosfos ready in the Brachas Abeis quotes that the practice in many communities in Europe was that we daven Mayav way before the Zman. Why did they do this? Primarily because of safety. Because they didn't want people walking in the streets, and very often the shuls were not in the center of town. They were out, further out a little bit, and they were concerned with people walking around late at night. So So they used to have a Ma'ariv early before the technical Zman was. That's the very first Rashi in Torah and Brachos. Discuss how can you do that? And that Ma'ariv early, the first edition of Brachos says that you can't fulfill Kriya Shema until after dark. It's much like it's Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says you're right, you can't fulfill Kriya Shema, and you have to rely on the Kriya Shema Shal Amita, the Kriya Shema you say before you go to sleep for the real mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And Tosfos goes through a bit of time now that we pask in that you can really be able to sing Kriya Shema before dark. We don't really pass like the Mishnah in Brachos. There's a Brice that disagrees. Much like it's the whole story. So the practice was that they used to daven Ma'ariv fairly early in the days of the Rishonim. Remember, I was with Rabbi Shechter once in Berlin at the end of June. And it was very, very, his man was very, very, very late. And Rabbi Shechter was looking outside. It was 10 o'clock, it still wasn't dark yet. So I remember he commented to me, he said, now we understand the first times of brachas. He said, now I know why the Rishonim used to daven Ma'ariv early. He said, it never gets dark. Who could wait till the middle of the night till it gets dark? So the Ramah writes that if you live in a place where they're davening Ma'ariv early, and now the woman realizes, oh yeah, I forgot to do Hefzik Taira. I want to do Hefzik Taira now. So technically speaking, it's not yet the next day because the sun hasn't set yet. Problem is that in this town, it's quote unquote night. Once they daven Ma'ariv, so then they've in effect created night. So the Ramah writes that there is some who are of the opinion that once the whole shul daven Ma'ariv already, then it's too late. Then she can no longer do her Eidichal Livdoik. She can't do her Petikas of Hefzik Taira. She can't switch over to white to start counting tomorrow is the first day of Shiva Nikim. She can't do that because the shul has already made it night. So Yesh Omim, and there are others who disagree. Yesh Omim, the Mutter Filu Asa Kol Shabbos. He quotes from the Maharil, who says that there are those who disagree entirely and say, not only if the shul already daven Ma'ariv, is it still considered to be day for the purpose of Shiva Nikim, but even if the Shaila happens on Friday afternoon, but the shul already was Makabel Shabbos, and you get the impression that even the woman herself, she already lit candles, even she was Makabel Shabbos, that's okay. Even that's okay. So you, in between the lines of the Ramah, you get the impression that there are actually three different shittas here. There are those who say that the most extreme, the most chumr shita, that the shul already daven Ma'ariv, it's all over. You can't do Shiva Nikim anymore. There are those who say they never heard of such a thing, that Shiva Nikim only depends upon the sun, doesn't depend on anything else. And then you have, theoretically, a middle ground, that if they daven Ma'ariv on a weeknight, noon, if that's not the end of the world, but if they daven Ma'ariv on Friday night, that's what's called Tosef Shabbos. Once the whole community accepts Shabbos, so then that causes a problem. That poses an issue, and she can no longer do a Hefzik Taira anymore. So there are three possibilities. So the Ramah doesn't mention the middle ground, but it's implicit from this discussion that there exists such a middle ground. So what's our practice? So the Ramah writes that our practice is V'nogi L'chadchilu Yizor. L'chadchilu, we tell people to be careful about this. Namely, if the shul is going to daven Ma'ariv, so we tell a woman she should do Hefzik Taira. That's the proper thing to do is to do Hefzik Taira before the shul davens Ma'ariv. But with the evident lochush, but if it already happened, she messed up, she goofed, and now it's already too late. They're ready to daven Ma'ariv as long as it's not yet shkia. So with the evident, we will accept a Hefzik Taira under those circumstances. So lechetchilu, we try to be mach, and the Ramah writes, Dain the Tuesday night, Dain the Friday night. Now, once the community makes dark, makes it night, so lechetchilu, we should have already completed a Hefzik Taira. Then the Ramah quotes an interesting minute. Mixas Noshim Nogos. So someone.
What would he say if it was Erev Shabbos?
Even Erev Shabbos, the Be'evet and Loch Shem, the whole thing is okay. The other thing is okay. Well, Mixas Noshim Nogos. There's some women who have the practice. She imposed the Kodem Baruch Hu. That let's say she did a Hefzik Taira before Baruch Hu, so before they made it night. The Chazal Liros Kesem Adam Tochi Meis Firasa. And then, later on during the week, she has. She has a shaila, she has a kesem, she has a stain, or she has a real riyas dam, and now she has to start over again. So, when it came to the original Hefzik Taira, she did a kedasu chadin, lechatchila, before Ma'ariv. But now she's up to day three already, and she finds a shaila, and we should tell, if you would ask me, I would say, lechatchila, make sure to do Hefzik Taira before Baruch again. Why should the shaila change? Because she already has to start over again. So starting over again is like lechatchila. So we should say to make sure to do it the right time. So he says, no. So then we're not so careful about this, that even after Baruch Hu, we're going to let her start over again, even lechatchila. Why is this called lechatchila? Why is this okay? The choshrin davazel adiyevet. The women assume that's called the bidiyevet. Why? when I start out my count on day one, I'm getting off on the right foot. And we say, no, listen, get off on the right foot, do everything before the daven, the shul daven tonight. But if it's already the membership of the kiyam, it's already a shtekh b'diyam. It's already after the fact. So the women consider that to be b'diyam. So the rabbi, not so sure, why does it be? You should tell the chachita to do it properly. He says, don't stop the women on this one. He came, kiblu me'ezeh chacham sh'or lehen. She says, Mustafa, some rabbi, somewhere along the lines, some of the last 500 years, somebody gave him such a psak. Uminig vasikin. It's an old, old minig. Vasikin, we see vasikin, we think it means davening before next. Vasikin just means something old, vasik. It means it's an old, old practice. So the reason why davening vasikin is called vasikin, so Rashi writes, because the vasikin were the ones who were very machped on mitzvahs. So they used to go out of their way to daven before, to daven on the buzz, to daven at sunrise. But the term minig vasikin, this means it was an old, minute, an old established minute. So whatever it is, the Ramah says that lechatchilu we try to avoid this. But the Yavid, we're going to let it go. What is our practice in terms of this? So most of the time, it's not relevant for us during the week because most specials don't have in Ma'ariv Mamish before this mat. Most of the specials, even those shuls that have a minion here and there, a flag minion, that's not the minion in town. So unless you live in South Florida. Florida, so that's very often in Miami. That's very often that's the minion in town. In certain communities, they daven early all the time. I remember I was once visiting in the Miami Beach area, and I came to shul when I thought was going to be mincha time, and they were finishing Ma'ariv. And I asked them, "What's going on?" It wasn't like even in the summertime when it was very good. It was like 5:30, and they're already davening. So they explained to me that the early bird special in the restaurant ends, that you have to be in there by 6 o'clock. So across the board, Meyer's got to be done by 5:45, no matter, irrelevant to what's going on. The Ramah didn't quote that to that fact. So for us, most of the time during the week is not the issue, but the issue does come up on Friday night. The person makes early Shabbos, so that's what our practice is. We say lechatchila, tell women if they're making early Shabbos, they should do Hefsek Tara before they bench lach. Even on regular Shabbos, in wintertime. So as a woman has the mindset, you know what, I'm in a big rush, I don't have time to do Hefsek Tara now, let me bench lach first. I'll bench lach, then I'll have another 18 minutes until Shkia, and then I will deal with my Hefsek Tara. That's not right. Chachir is not supposed to do that. But yeah, but if that happened, we'll accept it anyway after the fact. But like Chachir, she should try to do the Hefsek Tara before she benches lach. What I do let women do in the Chachir is to do the moch after lach benching. Otherwise, if you follow this Ramah to the logical conclusion, it would mean as follows. It means you have to do the Hefsek Tara before lach benching, and you have to put the mochin before lach benching as well. Leave it in from before lach benching until after Tzitzkir Chofen. And that's long. That would be very, very long. So for that, I don't think you have to be machmir. Since the whole moch is only a minute anyway, what I tell women to do is on Friday is do the Hefsek Tara before lach benching. That's the equivalent in anyway. That after you bench lach, then you relax a little bit, and 10-15 minutes later, go upstairs and go put it in the moch, 2-3 minutes before shkia like you would normally do, and leave it in from then until whatever tzitzkir chofen. If you don't follow what I'm saying, if you do it like others like to do, that they want to insist on the moch in from before lech benching till after tzitzkir chofen, in the summertime, a woman makes early Shabbos, so she benches lech at 6:15, tzitzkir chofen is not till almost 9 o'clock, so the moch is in for 2 hours, that's very, very irritating. That itself is going to cause problems. So lechatchila, I don't think you have to do that. Lechatchila, I think, just make sure that the tzitzkir is in before lach benching. What exactly is this issue? Whether you should have it or not in before? What exactly are they fighting about? Why should we possibly insist that at least the tzitzkir should be done before being mekabel Shabbos? So the Shach in the second of the Mamakovos points out what the issue is. There's a few also called Shabbos. There are more quoted than Binyan than real that says that even if the shul made Shabbos already, it's okay. He says, what does Hilchos Nida have to do with Shabbos? Hilchos Shabbos, the Sefer Shabbos, the Din Hilchos Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to start Shabbos early. But Hilchos Nida depends on the sun. Tzorech Chav Dal shows. Hilchos Nida depends. Is it 24 hours or not? It's nothing to do with anything else. Chenisa, Pek Nara, the Moslem Shabbos. Chenish Raya, means a Raya from a Din. Chenish Raya, Misfir Sa'oimer. So we don't count Svira, just because you're Makabal Shabbos, let's say in the springtime. We make Shabbos early in May. We don't count Sfira after Ma'ariv unless the Zman, or to some degree the Zman has come. If it's 6:45 and the sun is still shining for another hour, nobody counts Sfira at that point. The Locha Shvim, the Laitma. I feel very Shabbos. Even though there's a Sefer Shabbos derice, even though the Sefer Shabbos, according to many opinions, is a mitzvah min HaTorah, the Sefer Shabbos doesn't affect other mitzvahs. It only affects Shabbos. V'chein mechilas matzah Pesach Sukkah Akel Moshe Agur B'shem Haril says that say tonight the kid from Makabel Yontif early and eat matzah. You can Makabel Yontif early and not do melacha. You can't eat matzah. You can't eat Korban Pesach early. You can't eat the Sukkah early. It's the first night of Sukkah. Guys, you can Makabel Yontif early eat the Sukkah now before dark. You can't do that either. You see from all these sources that the halachas of the Seven Shabbos only impact on Malacha, on Shabbos proper. They don't really impact on other areas of Malacha. So this is really a very, very loaded question. The Shachas is referencing and saying Sfira and Matzah, and so he's throwing everything into one big, one fell swoop. This is a big, big question. There's a major, major machlekes in the Rishonim already, which is more of a Shabbos issue than a Nida issue, but it's impacting the Chus Nida. As to what exactly the nature of the Kabbal Shabbos is. The Gemara tells us in Shoshana Daftes, there's a mitzvah to Makabel Shabbos early. Bar learns it out from Yom Kippur. Just as Yom Kippur, you have to be Makabel Yom Tov early. But Tisha L'Chodesh V'Erev, the Torah speaks about beginning Yom Kippur on the ninth day. Bar says that we derive who Din Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to start Shabbos and Yom Tov early. We actually machlok like Yisrael, whether we've been passed like that. But assuming within the world of those who passed like that, Shulchan Aruch holds such an opinion that there is a mitzvah to begin Shabbos and Yom Tov a little bit earlier. It's a mitzvah in HaTorah. There's a fundamental question, what exactly is the nature of that mitzvah? Does that mitzvah mean that it's basically Friday, it's basically Erev Yom Tov, but there's a mitzvah to refrain from halacha even though it's Friday? Notwithstanding the fact that Shabbos hasn't really started, you're not supposed to do halacha on a day that's still Friday. Is that pshat? Or is pshat? No. Once the Torah gives you a mitzvah, you accomplish Shabbos early, what the Torah is in effect telling you is that it's no longer Friday. Friday's over. The sun hasn't set yet. It doesn't matter. Luckily, the day is over. Shabbos has now begun. Yom Tov has now begun. That's a very, very long discussion. What does Tosefos mean? Tosefos addressed the day and, in a sense, transforms it to become a new day. But Tosefos doesn't speak to the day. Tosefos has nothing to do with the new day. Tosefos just means it's Friday within a simple law. My nafkamina, big nafkamina, in terms of Chus Nida. So a woman benches lecht early, let's say in the summertime. She benches lecht an hour before the sun sets. And all of a sudden she goes to Gaval, I forgot to do a Hefsik Tara. Now what? So if you hold that the new day has started, that's a big problem. Because the Hefsik Tara always has to precede the beginning of the new day. The whole goal is Shivas Yom. It has to be 7 complete days. That's why the halacha is consistent, that she does Hefsik Tara before the new day begins. Since we assume that normally the new day begins with Suffolk Shkia, so she has to precede Shkia, she has to proceed with Hefsik Tara. So if she's Makabel Shabbos early, and she's in a pickle. Because once she's Makabel Shabbos early, the new day has just started. So you can't do Hefsik Tara once the new day has started. So that was the source for the Ramah's opinion, the first opinion of Tumas Hadeshen. So you start Shabbos early, it's too late. You can't do Hefsik Tara, you have to wait a whole other day. And others who disagree, others say that's not true. Others say the new day hasn't started. You can't do Malacha, but the new day hasn't started yet. So since the new day hasn't started, there's nothing wrong with doing Hefsik Tara even after Kabbal Shabbos, after the benching left, as long as Shkia hasn't happened. So how do we paskin on the Shaila? So the Ramah quoted two opinions of the Chus Nida. Sounds like the Ikra Din is that we paskin, that the new day has not started. So that's a little bit tricky, because if you take a look at the page 8 on the third of the Ramah Kamos, there is a Tosfos of Masechet Tzachim, it's very, very relevant Lamaisa, that seems to impact on this as well. There is a Mishnah Masechet Tzachim that says that on Erev Pesach, late in the afternoon, you're not allowed to eat. If you eat late in the afternoon, you fill yourself up, then you won't be able to eat matzah l'teyov. You won't be able to eat matzah with a proper appetite. So therefore, there's a din midrabanan, every pesach of tzavuch l'minchal yochel ad matzah techshech. So when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to eat until Pesach starts, so the Mishnah uses a very, very strange lash. It says, every pesach of tzavuch l'minchal yochel ad matzah techshech. You can't eat until it gets dark. So the Rishon Mavadah, why does that have to say until it gets dark? It should have just said, on Erev Yom Tov, you shouldn't eat. I know when Yom Tov starts. Yom Tov starts when it gets dark. I need a Mishnah Pesachim to tell me that Yom Tov starts when it gets dark. It's a very, very mundane lashon. Why does the Mishnah spell out the phrase Echetesha? So Tosfos on the third of Mamakom asks this question. Makshin. People ask the question. Am I Yitzvah Echetesha? Pshita? So it's obvious. The Odes of Tosfos. The Gemara got the Shabbos of Yom Tov. Look, Tanilei. There's a Braisa in Erev Pesachim. It speaks about not eating on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, regular Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. And the Braisa here does not use the phrase Echetechshech. The other Braisa just says, Erev Shabbos, L'yachal Adam. I know when Erev Shabbos ends, when it gets dark. So Tosfos has a textual question, a dual textual question. Why the mentioning of Asher Techshech is obvious, and if you're already mentioning it, why don't you mention it for Shabbos and Yom Tov also? The Yom Barini Kervil, it got to be Matzah Davka B'din Asher Techshech. The reason why the Mishnah mentions Asher Techshech in Avi Pesachim is specifically by Pesach, Kivistani B'tisemta, Pesach Matzah Mor, Mitzvah Shem Asher Techshech, that you cannot start Shabbos, you cannot start Pesach early. You can't eat the matzah before the Bamish gets dark. Why is that? The time of Mishnah Dechsev, the Ochlos Abosah B'Layla Hazeh. When it comes to Korban Pesach, the Torah says specifically you have to eat it at night. Well, matzah mor is kashul Pesach. The matzah mor and Pesach over hand in hand, they compared one another. Aval Suda Shabbos, V'yom Tov, about the Ochlos V'yom Yoyim. A regular Shabbos, if you're on the day, you can make Shabbos early, you can eat your Suda Shabbos early, you can make Yom Tov early, you can eat it early. We have no problems with eating Suda Shabbos and Suda Yom Tov early. So therefore, in one fell swoop, tells us answers both caches. The reason why the Mishnah says Acha Techshach is to highlight that you cannot eat Acha Techshach until Mamish dark. Don't think just because you went to Shul Davin Meir if you can come over and eat your Suda. No. He said, not so simple. On Pesach night, Acha Techshach, you have to wait until it's Mamish dark. And you want to know why it's missing in the Braisa by Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because it's not necessary by Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's a famous Shita of Tosfos that you can eat your Shabbos meal early, but you can't eat your Pesach meal early. My hat, what's Pesach? What's the beer of a wife Pesach different from a regular Shabbos meal? So Tosfos refers to Pesach. Balai Lazer. What does that mean? So Reb Chaim has a famous beer. Reb Chaim writes this Chiddush Manchas. So Tosfos means a famous brisket part. Classic. Two dinim, two halachas. Says Reb Chaim, says, what's the mechayev? What obligates you to eat a Suda Shabbos? What obligates you to eat the Suda Yom Tov? Kedusha Sayyum. The Kedusha Sayyum of Shabbos is a gerim that creates an obligation. Once Shabbos, the Kedusha Sayyum of Shabbos has come, that's a mechayev to eat Suda Shabbos. Says Reb Chaim, once you're mekabel Shabbos, the Kedusha Sayyum has come. You've already brought in the Kedusha Sayyum. So once the Torah gives you the right and the obligation to mekabel Shabbos and Yom Tov early, so that transforms the yom. It's not Shabbos. It's considered to be Kedusha Sayyum Shabbos, and Kedusha Sayyum Shabbos, it's now perfectly okay to be Yotzi and Mitzvah Suda Shabbos, Kedusha Sayyum Yom Tov. If you're Makabel Yom Tov early, you can eat the Suda also, that's no problem. But on Pesach says, what's the Mechayev of eating Matzah? Is the Mechayev of eating Matzah Kedusha Sayyum of first day of Pesach? No, that's not the Mechayev. You know, I know this, says Reb Chaim. You can't eat the Matzah tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning is the same Kedusha Sayyum as the night before. Suda Shabbos, if whatever you overslept and you didn't eat Friday night Suda, you can eat three meals on Shabbos day. Because the only thing that's necessary to be obligated to the Shabbos is Kedusha Sayyum. To eat matzah, says Reb Chaim, there's a different Mechayev. The Mechayev is Leil Chamisha Asa Ben Nisan. The night of the 15th is a separate independent Mechayev. It happens to also be Kedusha Sayyum. It's true, it's Kedusha Sayyum, but it's irrelevant. The Mechayev of eating matzah is not Kedusha Sayyum of Pesach, because that could be done tomorrow. If that was the halacha, then you can eat the matzah tomorrow, which obviously we know you can't. The answer is, it's Leil Chamisha also is a separate Mechayev. If that's the case, as Reb Chaim, when you're Mekabel Yom Tov from today till tomorrow, no pun intended, you're Mekabel Yom Tov early, you can endow the time with Kedusha Sayyum, but you can't turn day into night. Night is when it gets dark out. The Torah doesn't have a mechanism to turn day into night. We can turn a Friday into Kedusha Sayyum, we can turn an Erev Pesach into Kedusha Sayyum, but Kedusha Sayyum is not sufficient. It has to be mamish, a Laila Pshutik Mashro, that's an astronomical reality, and Kozman, it's not the Laila Zeh, it can't be Yotzi Matzah. So Tosfos actually only said this vis-a-vis Matzah. Tosfos doesn't say it concerning anything else. The Ramon Huchasukah adds on Huchasukah as well, because we know that the earliest time to the mitzvah of eating the Sukkah the first night is derived from Matzah. So the Ramah says, just as for Pesach, you have to wait till dark. So to Pesukas, you have to wait for dark as well. That's what the Minig Yisrael is. Usually the rabbi speaks between Mincha Meir on the first night of Sukkot to stall. It's always nice to give it a term, but it's fundamental that Minig exists to stall. In order people, by the time they get home, it should already be dark. So if you look in Tosfos, only singled out Matzah, the first night of Pesach. The Ramah throws in Sukkah also.
Pesukah has a caveat that you can be sitting there all night.
But you're not going to be necessarily eating your challah all night. There's a chiyuv gomer to eat a piece of challah in the supper the first night.
Right, but even if you start early, you would be back to the mitzvah.
Yeah, assuming that you're eating challah after dark.
Right.
But a lot of people, like, they make it, if you send people, if you daven by right after the Shkia, you send everybody home, it'll be 20 minutes after the Shkia, people will be making Kiddush, they'll be eating the challah, it won't be dark yet. So to avoid that problem, so Shal Abitul Mitzvah D'Oraisa.
What about Shavuos? We need to
meet. So if you look at Tosis, Tosis doesn't say a word about Shavuos. Tosis talks about Pesach, but more added on Sukkis, and then the Magen Avraham and the Taz added on Shavuos. And they said, Shavuos night, you shouldn't have Maariv early. Why? Because you have to wait for Tzmimus. That's a big beer, that's a chumrah, it's a minig. Ashkenazim have, the Sfarim don't have that practice, many Sfarim don't do that. But the Ashkenaz community, we've accepted that practice. Therefore, the rabbi's got to speak not only the first night Pesach, the rabbi's got to speak the stall, the rabbi's got to speak the first night Sukkot, the rabbi's got to speak the first night Shavuos also. So it sounds like we're okay. When else do we have to stall? So the Marshal says that on the night of Shemini Atzeres, you shouldn't eat early either. Why? For a totally different reason. Marshal says, since in Chutz Laaretz, you have to eat in the Sukkot Shemini Atzeres, but you don't make a bracha, so if you're going to make Shemini Atzeres too early, you're going to be in a pickle. Should I make a bracha? Not make a bracha. So the Marshal says you better wait it out. Wait till it gets dark, and that we can go into the sukkah without any shiloh, without any bracha. So now the rabbi just has to speak again. It sounds like, when else do we have to stall?
It's raining.
It's raining. So the Maharil says that you shouldn't have the mic earlier in Rosh Hashanah night. You're not blowing shofar tomorrow. Maharil says, if you really believe it's a Yom HaDin, without running to the din, we'd like to hold off a little bit. The Russians want to push off the court day. If you can push off traffic court for another month, we'll push it off. No one's running to go to court. So my rule says, don't have my such as reasons on Rosh Hashanah night. So now the rabbi's got to speak then. So there's only one yontif left that we can start early. Shvi Shal Pesach. That's it. That's the only one. We haven't yet found the chumrah. Chris Yamshev doesn't have to be Balayim. You have Kippur, no one's going anywhere anyway, no one's in a rush anyway, you're right. So the rabbi gets stuck, he's got to talk for Shoshana, he's got to talk for Natalia, every yantha's got to give a drasha in order to stall. But Tosfos only said it to Gabi Pesach. But when it comes to regular Friday nights, Tosfos is okay. Tosfos lets you eat the Suda Shabbos, maybe Od Yom. But even that, Tosfos is not convinced this truth, because then Tosfos backpedals on that also. Then Tosfos quotes, if you continue on in the Tosis, so Tosis writes, the Omer, what's that? Three lines at the bottom, Rabbi Yehuda tirates. Three lines at the bottom of the Tosis, the middle line, Rabbi Yehuda tirates. Afilu iba inen gabi shabbas yom tovim ha-shepechshach. It says Rabbi Yehuda, another Baal Tosis, no, maybe on a regular Friday night, you also have to wait till dark. On a regular Yontif night, you also have to wait till dark. So why does the Mishnah spell it at Shetechshach by Pesach? The teacher, the Asla Shvein, and the Afa God, the Shechitus Pesachim Yibiyod Yom, even though I shechted the Korban Pesach by day, if you wait to shecht the Korban Pesach after dark, the Korban Pesach is possible. So the Shechita has to be done by Yom. Eino Necha Yibiyod Yom Kishar Kodshim. Don't make a mistake to think, I shechted it Yibiyod Yom, now I can eat it, which is in fact true by other Korbanos. If I bring a Korban Shlom on regular Tuesday afternoon, if I shecht at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so I can start eating it right away. A korban pesach is the only korban that you can't eat on the day you brought it. You have to wait until the ochos of basav alayla like that. So I would have thought, I would have made a mistake that, well, you could, maybe you could jump the gun of the korban pesach. Hamash v'lon, that you're not allowed to. Is the Mishnah addressing the issue of starting to say it early? The Mishnah's not even talking about that. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do that on a regular Friday night. So if you can't do that on a regular Friday night, you can't do it on Pesach night either. So it comes out that which the first opinion tells the Rimi Korvil was convinced that Tzud Shabbos can be eaten in the Yod Yom. But then Yehuda, the second Batas, wasn't so sure about that. What are they arguing about? So it sounds like they're arguing about this very point, namely, what is the Sefer Shabbos? According to the first opinion, the Rimi Korvil, the Sefer Shabbos is mamish endowing the new day as a Kedushas Hayom. And therefore, you can eat the Suda without any hesitation, except for Pesach Nas. Also, because that would have an extension. According to Ben Yehuda, you can't even eat Yisud Shabbos, maybe Yod Yom, because the Sefer Shabbos has nothing to do with Kiddushas Hayom. The Sefer Shabbos means you have to refrain from Malacha before it gets dark. Does it change the day? Does it transform? Does it change Gornish from Gornish? So this Machlokes would be the Rimi Kavil and Ben Yehuda is now the background for this Ramon the Shachar of Chuslida. We saw the Ramon quotes Heftach Rishonim say, the Heftach Rishonim already said, from Sadesh, another said, a woman can't do a Hefsik Tara after she benches lach. It's too late already. It's a new day. And the Ramah says, nah, it's not really true. What are the issues? What are they fighting out? So it sounds like they're fighting. Is it a new day or is it not a new day? Is Tosefta Shabbos really changed the day, or does it not change the day? So it started out as a machloikis in Ilchus Pesachim, to decide the Seder, to decide the Shabbos and the Yom Tov meal, and now is going to impact seriously in terms of Ilchus Nida. So how do we paskin on this whole issue? So once we've just said this is no longer an Ilchus Nida issue, this is an Orach Chaim Shleish Rodei issue, we have to figure out if we're consistent in that Pesach. Are we making Ilchus Nida? Are we machmir Ilchus Shabbos? How does this all play out? So we set the stage for the discussion. Hopefully, that's from next week. We'll try to put the final touch on this part of the Shaila. So we started out by saying, Hagdor is Yom. How do you define a day for Ilchus Nida? Not so simple, not so possible. You have to know more about what the definition of a day is in Ilchus Shabbos before we can begin to analyze whether it's a day in Ilchus Nida. Hopefully, that's from next week.
But as far as the. You've all heard the chalos that you own, as far as, you know, air shopping. I think that's where I'm shopping. If you make shopping, after the shop,
that's okay, that's part. That's also part of it, how the new makes it feel. Yeah, so we have a lot to talk about. So this is more of an Archaim issue, but hopefully Mr. Shem will see how the Archaim impacts their record.
But on the Yom Tov, where it seems that there's total agreement about eating the meal, then the day we can check even after.